right. We are live. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy HD. This is a special Monday edition of Textual Talk. We have Miss Kevin here, aka EHR Analyst Bay. And she's here to put us on some game tonight. So y'all know what to do. Make sure when y'all come in, y'all hit that like button, subscribe, share it on your social media for the YouTube algorithm so we can get this information out to the people, because EHR is one of those things that's not talked about that's pretty much critical and useful, and you can work pretty much anywhere. You can always have a job, and that's what we're here to talk about today. But without further ado, we'll let our guest speak. We'll let her pretty much, can you introduce yourself and give us like a little tidbit about your background?
Yes, yes, yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Kevin. Like you said, AKA EHR Analyst Bay. That is my Instagram and Twitter. So make sure all y'all follow me on Instagram and Twitter for all the EHR knowledge. So I'll just give you a little bit of a background how I decided to get into health tech, because EHR basically is electronic health records. So electronic health records are when you go to your physician, and you know how they're always on their computer now and they don't really pay you too much attention because they're like typing all the time. It's because they're in the health record and they're trying to input your information, put your medications in, put any diagnosis, any notes, things like that. So at this current time in my career, I am building those systems. So I'm in the back end of the EHR systems now. At one point, which I will get into later, I was on the front end. I was training the systems. So right now I am an analyst. I do build healthcare record systems. I maintain them for hospitals. I help with implementations of healthcare records. So not to say how long ago, so because you guys really don't need to know how old I am, but a long time ago, a long time ago, I graduated from nursing school and someone came to me and they just was like, you're really good with computers. And this hospital is looking for people in the medical field that also know computers. She's like, it's not really a job, but it's like a sort of a contract. And they need people to help with this computer system. And I'm like, OK. And she's like, and you're going to make more than what you would make being a nurse, like fresh out of school. And I'm like, oh, I'm really down for that. So I this was a while ago. So I took the position and I began to train the systems. And when I started to train the systems, I was training the clinical staff at first, the doctors and nurses, on how to use the system. And honestly, I didn't even really know how to use the system. They gave us a little bit of training material and I read over it and I literally went in that day and figured it out myself. And I probably was helping for about 2 or 3 weeks on my first assignment. And the people were asking me the same questions for those 2 and 3 weeks that I had just learned on my own in like 20 minutes. So I'm like, oh, I'm good at this. So I started to do that, but it's not very much opportunity for it when you're being a consultant or a contractor in, like, I guess you could say in your city, if you're living in a small city and there's not many hospitals that are having like implementations or updates and stuff like that. So the main way to do this was to travel. But at the time I had small children and I didn't want to travel. So I went back to doing nursing things and doing other stuff in the healthcare realm. And few years after that, after my children got bigger, it came back to me, the opportunity, like out of nowhere. I had forgot about it and everything. So the opportunity came back to me and I was like, oh, yeah, I do want to do that. And they were like, well, it's out of town. So I started to go out of town. And for the last, I'll say like 6-7 years, I was traveling. I was going from state to state, East Coast to West Coast, South, North, everywhere. And I was training the clerical staff, training the clinical staff on this EHR system. Eventually, I ended up getting credentialed in certain systems and I started to do classroom training I did classroom training for clerical and clinical staff where I would train them before the implementation. So when I say implementation, what I mean is, like, way back in the early 2000s, the government regulated that all hospitals had to be on a regulatedly approved healthcare record system, electronic healthcare record system, because before that, you know, most doctors were paper. So when they decided that, there were, of course, a bunch of big companies that made health record systems. And so the four that I am the most familiar with, that I work with the most, would be Epic, Cerner. Those two are always competing with each other. And then the other two would be more so, I don't want to say on the bottom end, but they are like a little cheaper. And for, I'll say, hospitals that are in more like rural areas or areas that aren't economically stable and things like that. And those would be Allscripts and Meditech. So I work with all four of those. So like I said, I was credentialed. And so I started doing classroom training. I kind of like classroom training, but those projects are really long. So you're away from home for a while. So I didn't take many of those. But like I said, I did travel for the last 5-6 years doing the training in the hospitals. And now recently, over the last couple of years, I have mainly been doing analysts. Mostly within the last year, I've really stuck with doing analyst work because I can do that remote. I can be home. I can be home with my children. I'm kind of tired of the road, you know, being in hotel from hotel to hotel and being away from home for weeks at a time. So basically that is how it all started.
Yeah, that was a lot. So this is going to be my question that kind of stuck out to me, like in the very beginning of what you said. Mm-hmm. You initially were, I think you said you finished, you know, school being in nursing, if I'm not mistaken. So my question is, you know, how easy is it for nurses to transition into EHR? Because I know with the pandemic the last 2 years, they've been like burnt out and a lot of things going on. And now some of them have kids and it's hard. You know, if you just have a newborn, you're not trying to really go back to work. But right. And we know something like EHR allows you the flexibility to work from home. So how easy would it be for a nurse to pick this up?
So I think that people that are already in healthcare, like nurses, physicians, pharmacists, they have the easiest route to get into being an EHR analyst. And the reason I say that is because they're already in the healthcare field. They're already using these systems. So they're familiar with the systems. I would say that people that are nurses or I even know people that are physicians or people that are in medical school and they do these projects because a lot of times they want them to have like the doctors or people that are in medical field to be with the doctors because they know like the medical terminology. They know how to help doctors feel more settled a lot. And this is just honest. When you're out and you're training and you're just a regular person coming into the hospitals and you're trying to train the doctors, doctors are very arrogant. So they do not want to listen to people. So I'm not a doctor. So I'm coming in telling this man who done went to school for 12, 13 years that he's doing something incorrectly and or telling him how to do something. And a lot of times they are frustrated. They're overworked. They're just like a lot. They have to learn a new system and take care of their patients. And a lot of times I work in the ED, the emergency department. So it's a lot going on and they're just like over it. You know what I'm saying? So the way that I've always been able to get to a physician is just because I know my craft. Like I know what I'm doing. When I come in, I know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, how to do it. I'm not like guessing. So when I show them that they can trust me and that I'm here to actually teach them and anything they ask me, I can answer, it usually gives them more trust. But just to finish up answering your question, being in the medical field is the perfect field to be in to jump into health tech because you're just transitioning from patient care to being in the background. And if you are techie, you know, if you're like tech savvy and when you're in the hospitals and you're working these systems, if you're one of those nurses or one of the people that are in the system and you're working that computer system well, because a lot of people there and there and they're just like struggling really hard, even after they've been on the system for years or months and they still just don't really get the system. But if you're someone who feels like confident in the system or someone who is just motivated to just learn the system and how to build a system and how to maintain it, then like that's you are the perfect candidate.
Nice, nice. It's crazy because you always answer questions I'm thinking about. So I have to, when you see me looking out, I'm crafting something else to ask. Maybe that, you know, the people that are watching maybe want to know. Shout out to everybody that's tuned in. If you just tuned in, I'm your host, HD, and it's our lovely guest tonight. It's Kevin, and she's putting y'all on game about something that you may know about or you may not know about, or you just been using it the whole time when you go to the doctor and never knew. But let's talk about this because we talked about this pre-show a little bit.
Yes. And,
so here's a go. Why do you think EHR is like, you know, the world's best kept secret? Like, the barrier, the entry is possibly lower than it can be, but it's very, you know, it's one of the roles I would say if you're not already at a hospital or know some other people that's doing other things in a hospital, you have the network to get into.
Yes, 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 yes. So we were talking about this earlier, and I talk about this with everybody. I literally was talking about this earlier today because I did a consultation because, which I'll discuss as well. I started a health tech consulting company because of this very reason. So healthcare information technology is like a secret society. Like literally people either don't know about it. And when they do know about it, if they ask the people that are in it, they don't want to help you get in it. it's like, they like, what? Like, and I'm going to tell you the main reason why we are like that is because most times, I'm just gonna put it out there. Like most times, like your Black friends, they just come up like, oh, you getting that money, put me on. Like, put you on. Like, I don't like that. It's like, I'm not getting you a job at Walmart. Like, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. This is something like that. If I put my name on you and then you make me look crazy, that is interfering with my livelihood, my reputation as an employer. I don't care about my reputation nowhere else but at work. I'm just gonna keep it real. Like when I'm in my professional mode, I am like so professional and I'm very intelligent. I'm putting that on myself because I am. And I feel like if I'm gonna help you to do something career-wise, I want you to be serious about it. So I don't know if that is the reason for other people, but that is definitely the reason for me. So the whole time that I've been doing this, I've never really helped anyone to get in except for maybe like one, two people, like a family member, my cousin, and then like one other person. And that was it. Like people always ask me like, why you don't put me on? Or I want to do what you do. What you be doing? And I'm just looking like, you don't even know how to come to a person like correctly. So why would I put you on to something? Something like what you be doing? Like, I want to get that money too. Like, no. So that's one reason that it's a secret society. Another thing is, you know how we get when we get that bag and we start getting up in life, we are like, looking at people strange, like, what? You don't know how to do what I do. You want to make yourself look like you're doing the most. So that's the reason I think that people do that. And then the reason I think people don't really know about it, like, even if, like, when you do know and you try to get in with someone, they don't help you. I think that the reason people really don't know about healthcare technology is because if you're not really in the healthcare, even when you're in the healthcare field, you never actually think about the technology behind healthcare. Like, even though you're on computers all the time, you don't think about who's building this computer or how does this thing work, until you are going through an upgrade or implementation at your job. And then all these tech people are coming in and you're like, what is going on? Who are these people? And when I go to projects, they're always like, so what do y'all do? Y'all just travel around and help people, and y'all just go from hospital to hospital or state to state, and y'all just help people learn systems? Like, yeah, like even the people in the hospital are shocked. Like, I never heard of that. So it really is a secret society, but I, in particular, I don't want to be a gatekeeper anymore. Like, I want to open up the gate. I want to flood it, especially with Black women, because you don't really see our face that much. Black people in general, but especially women. You don't usually see us. Like, I'm on a team, a build team, and it's literally not one Black person on my team and not one Black woman. There are a few women, but not Black women. And I just want us to get in here, and I do want us to get this tech bag, but I just want people that are serious about it and really will strive in it, because it's not always easy. You don't always have to code. Sometimes you do, but it just depends on like what your hospital that you're working for right now, what are they going through? Are they going through implementation? Are you there just to maintain the system? Because they always need someone there to maintain the system as long as they have it. Are they implementing a new unit? It just depends on what your hospital that you're working for is doing. And I'll also talk about later, we'll get into contracting versus FTE. What we call FTE is full-time employment and things like that.
That's dope. And very transparent of you of, you know, admitting that about, you know, kind of being gatekeepers, you know, earlier on in your career. I know I make, so with the things you say, I talk about cybersecurity all the time, and people tend to tell me I'm gatekeeping or I'm being elitist. And my end of everything always is like, well, it's not that. I just want you to know what you're doing, because I don't want to get fired because you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
And I don't think people understand when they ask you, oh, put me on. Okay, cool. I put you on. And then you violate some of the actual legal laws that come with, you know, EHR, that you got the whole hospital in a bind and y'all sued for money because you did something you ain't supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of times people don't realize with these jobs. Like, at the end of the day, our goal of our jobs is support the company.
Yeah.
And people just see the money aspect of it. So they don't mm-hmm. understand everything else. And that's what they're missing. And I definitely agree with you with pretty much you want people that, you know, want to work hard, because that's me. I don't really like people wasting my time. People say, oh, put me on. I'm like, no, go do your research first and then come talk to me.
Yes.
I don't want to babysit you, or, you know, you don't listen to what I'm saying if you're trying to be like me. Like, just listen. And I definitely feel you on that, for real. But we had a couple of questions. Shout out to Professor Black Ops. He said, you know, what's your thoughts on HIPAA?
Well, let me see how to put this. So when I do projects, we always have to go through like a HIPAA training. It's usually a virtual training from when I used to do projects, even when I do my remote analyst projects. But mostly when I used to go and do my, they call it ATE, which is at the elbow support. So when I would go and be at the elbow support in the hospital, supporting them right there at their elbow, helping them to get through the system during the implementation, we always have to go through these trainings for HIPAA, because there are a lot of ways to violate HIPAA. But we're not really, when we're in there training, we're not really in anyone's chart on our own. So if a physician or a nurse or a receptionist, a clerical clerk or something like that is trying to schedule an appointment, or if a doctor is trying to order a med or something like that, we're just there to assist them to say, okay, they're like, well, how do I find this med, or how do I find this dosage, or how do I schedule an appointment for x-ray, things like that. Then we're just there over their shoulder saying, you know, click this, click that, go here. We're not really taking pictures or anything of anyone's medical accounts or records. We're not like going in, but that is a big thing where you want to make sure that you have trustworthy people that are going out and doing these go lives or what they're called when the system goes live. But for me right now as an analyst, I guess I could be in people's charts and stuff like that, but I really don't have a reason to be in people's charts. So usually I'm just fixing something, but I do have access with what you would call, what we call PROD, but it's production of the hospital system. So I could go in and look at things that are going on right now or upcoming appointments and things like that, or look up things, but everything is always audited too. So it's not like it's audited on a daily basis, but you don't want to be in something that you shouldn't be in if a system is audited and a hospital is looking and checking out who's been doing what. And they can look and see wherever you've been. There's always a track of what you've been in, what you haven't been in. And it's just like, and also it's like, why do I even want to look at somebody else's chart? What am I gaining from that? Like, I just look up Tom Jones and see his last checkup. Like, I don't know what I would want to do that for. So, but HIPAA is a big thing. And that's exactly why you have to have people that you can trust.
Perfect. Perfect. This seemed like a person that should meet with you. I'm going to show her comment real quick.
Okay.
Casa Kusan. I think I'm saying that right. You know, please forgive me if I messed that up. She says, I worked in EHR, but people wouldn't allow me to shadow them for deeper technical knowledge before I had my baby a few months ago.
Okay. So I definitely have experienced this. Not me, not like I haven't experienced it as saying someone didn't want to let me shadow them, more so because I don't even want to shadow anybody. I feel like I can learn everything that I need to learn on my own, but everybody learns differently. And I literally was talking about this earlier with someone that I did a consultation with. Like, some people need to see it being done. Some people can just go and read about how it's done and can figure all that out on their own. Some people need to do it themselves. So a lot of times, I don't know if she was like on a project maybe. And when I say project, I mean like recruiters come reach out to you and ask you to come on what we call projects for go lives when hospitals are implementing their systems. And most times on a project, there are people who come on projects and they aren't really knowledgeable. So they kind of want to walk around and see people who and watch people that are knowledgeable. But most times when people get on projects and they're not knowledgeable, they literally lie their way onto the project saying that they are knowledgeable. So when they get there and they don't know anything and they're trying to shadow the people that they're maybe paired with or in a department with, most times the people that's in the department are annoyed because you don't really know what you're doing. And now they have to do all the work for the whole department because now you were supposed to be their help, but you don't really know what you're doing. And now you want to watch me do everything. So, I mean, I've been annoyed like that before, so I'm not going to lie. But that is probably a reason to why they weren't wanting you to shadow them, because they just felt like, why don't you know what you're doing? Like, you should have trained yourself. You should have figured things out more before you came here, or whoever got you on this job, because there's no way for anyone to get on a project or to get into healthcare IT without knowing somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. So if you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, how come none of those nobodies, somebodies didn't help you to learn more before you came out? So when I decide to put somebody on, or when I'm introducing somebody into this area or this realm of HIT, I give them all the learning tools. I help them. I go on the same projects with them so that I can like go in their unit. They have my number. Call me if you need something. I could guide you through how to teach this doctor this and this and that. Don't let people think you don't know anything. So I feel like the problem was the person that sent you on that project. Why weren't they more supportive in helping you to learn?
Right, right. And I was going to message you and ask you about HITRUST. Only because I think that's fairly new, I think, HITRUST maybe. I know like 4 or 5 years ago, because actually I think HITRUST headquarters is out here where the area I'm at. But I'm actually going to skip past that, though, to ask you about this, because you've said this word probably like 1,000 times tonight. But how is it going through implementations?
Okay.
And are you implementing one of those systems that you mentioned or what?
Like, let's talk. Yes. Okay. So I'm so used to just saying my healthcare IT words and I just forget, like, people don't even know what I'm talking about. So I try to like give definitions as I talk, but implementation is, all right, say, so your local hospital may be on like an outdated system, or sometimes literally I'll go places and doctor's offices are still on paper. In 2021 and 2020 and 2022 even. And it's like, you're still writing down this stuff on a piece of paper and putting it in a folder and storing it in the cabinet. Who's doing that? So, but most times they're on like an older system that isn't really regulated by the government or isn't really user friendly. And they have to change their system, upgrade it basically. So implementation is them having the new system implemented into their hospital system. So like I said, Epic, Cerner, Meditech, Allscripts, those are the ones that I do use the most. But there are other things like Athena, eClinical, Greenway. It's a lot of other systems out there. And there's systems particularly for like dental offices. There's like Dentrex or something like that. It's like a lot of different stuff. But I'll go with Epic because that is one of my favorite systems just to kind of like throw out there. And that is like a big system that everyone knows about. Right now, I am an analyst for Cerner, though. But Epic is something that a lot of people know about because like most of the big, big hospital systems kind of went into Epic recently. So Epic has like 20 modules. So they have a module for inpatient. They have a module for the outpatient clinics. They have modules for dental. They have modules for rehab. They have modules for ophthalmologists. They have like modules for everything. So for home, for what do you call it? Senior citizen care. They have a different module, which a module is the system that works for that particular department. So sometimes, let's say a hospital might be on Epic, the whole hospital, but their lab isn't on Epic because they might have had a contract with another lab system. And sometimes they want to wait till that goes out or it gets a little cheaper for them to get out that contract. So now they're going to implement Epic into the lab so that everybody can be on one system and everything can stream seamlessly. So implementation basically is just that hospital implementing that system so that their electronic health records are on that system.
Nice, nice. And Skylar Gatson came in. I believe they probably missed the beginning of what we talked about. I'm going to show their comment real quick. I'll let you touch on it before I ask the next question.
Okay. No. So actually that is a good way to transition. We kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, especially being in the registration department. You could even be a trainer. Like I'm sure, I don't know how long your hospital has been on the system that they are on, but even when your system, your hospital has been on a system for a long time, they still have trainers that are FTEs, full-time employers, to train new people, to train during upgrades, or like if it went through an upgrade while you were there, you probably noticed all these trainers flew in and were there for a few weeks to help. So being an EHR analyst transitioning from registration, I would say that my best advice would be, if you want to do that for the hospital system that you're in, you should go and talk to the HR department and tell them, you know, that you're interested in being an analyst for, say, if you're on Epic, say patient access analyst, because Epic's registration is Cadence. Well, you said you're in the ED. So ED registration is called ASAP in Epic. I don't know if that's what you're on Epic or not, but you will want to go to your HR and let them know, you know, I really want to take some courses because they do have to sponsor you to become an EHR analyst in Epic, sponsor you for Epic. If you have Epic, if you have Cerner, if you have Meditech, it just depends on what you have. So I do have a consulting company, so I'm going to tell you guys how to get in contact with me, and I can guide you on the best way to reach out, to who. If you want to do this within your hospital, reach out to certain people in your hospital system to help you to get to become an analyst within that system. If you want to branch out and do it as a independent contractor, that's what I do. Then there are ways to do it that way. Also, with some healthcare systems, you do not need certifications or credentials or anything like that to become an EHR analyst. Some systems you do, they want you to go through some courses before like you can get hired, but most systems you don't need that.
Well, that was a lot, because it's kind of the tail end test on this. This is my question. My next question is like how to get training on the four different systems. That's going to be my next question to follow up with that.
So
you answer the chat, I want to know what you
is this drinking on? What I'm drinking?
What's in your cup? What's in there?
What's in my cup? No, I'm just it's water. After this, after this whole thing, I'm gonna like put some wine in there, but right now it's just water. So yeah,
That's a good, you give me an idea. Wine downs.
Yeah, you should have a wine down. That would be good. Okay, yeah, so let me see. I was like, when I brought this red cup, I'm like, everybody gonna be thinking I'm drinking in this red cup. I should get like a glass, but you know, black folks love they solo.
Yeah, I got so,
I'll be drinking water in the house like I'm drinking tequila. Okay, so the four systems. Okay, yeah,
how to get trained on the four systems.
Okay, so I'm trying to see the best way to say this because in reality, just in tech in general, everything that you learn is sort of like, I don't want to say everything, but 80% of the stuff you learn is self-taught. So it doesn't matter if you're being a cloud designer, if you're in AWS, if you're in Salesforce, if you're in cybersecurity, Java, whatever, SQL, you're always going out taking courses on your own, YouTube and learning stuff like that. But the only thing with healthcare IT is you really cannot YouTube too much stuff because of the regulations, because it is regulated by the government. Sometimes you can go on YouTube and see kind of like a workflow for certain systems like Cerner and Meditech. You can find videos on there that show you how to like register a patient or shows the doctor's workflow on how to prescribe a medication or order a lab or stuff like that. Like you can find those videos. They probably are like 7-8 years old and systems have changed a little bit, but not much since then. Sometimes you may be able to get something like within the last 2 or 3 years, but with Epic, you can't find nothing on YouTube or nowhere else because Epic is like, they don't want nobody to know nothing about anything that they do. If they get a ding that says something about Epic is on YouTube, they immediately send the lawyers out after you and everything. You cannot post Epic stuff, period. So you'll never find anything about Epic on there. But you'll find stuff about Cerner, Auscript, and Meditech. Those are my systems. But it's literally like 20 systems that are out. But those are the top 4 that are really, really prevalent and very, very popular. So to learn, you really need to know somebody. Like you need to know somebody to know somebody to know somebody. Like I have like probably every Epic module workflow manuscript because I've been in it for so long. I have all the Cerner stuff. I have so much Meditech stuff, so much like I have everything because I've been going on these projects accumulating workflows, accumulating training manuals, accumulating all this stuff. But there's no way to really learn it unless you work for a hospital system and you begin a new job and then they teach you. Other than that, it's like, you're going to have to pay me to learn it.
Right. And I'm surprised, because with the ramp up of like e-learning the past couple of years, I'm surprised none of them ever said, you know what, this is a whole nother bag. Well, we have, you pay Epic for the courses. You don't have to work at the hospital.
Epic will not do that. Like, even me have been in this game for so long. Like, I literally been doing healthcare IT for over 13 years. Like, I've been in the healthcare field longer than that, but I've been in healthcare IT for 13 years. And I call Epic all the time. Like, so I still can't sponsor myself to learn some more modules, how to build them and stuff like that. And they're like, you have to have a hospital sponsor you. So, and you only can get a hospital to sponsor you either if you agree to work for them for a certain amount of time, or now there are a few consulting companies that I heard about, but I haven't came in contact with them. But I heard that it's a few consulting companies that are paying for people to go and get the credentialing with Epic, and then you have to work for them for a certain amount of time, too, like you would a hospital. But I mean, the bag's so big for Epic analysts that it's like, okay, I work for y'all for 1 or 2 years, you know?
And it's kind of like a monopoly in a sense, because they're like, shoot, we can charge the hospitals whatever we want to charge for training, because they're going to pay it, because you can't get the training nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, the training, it's like $10,000 for one module. But it's like, just let me pay. Like, okay, let me pay the $10,000, because I'm about to make that $10,000 back in like a week when I start working. So, like, but they don't want to let you do it. Like, you have to get a sponsor from a hospital. But you have to get sponsored from a hospital for Cerner, for Meditech, for any training. But the difference is, if you want to be an EHR analyst for Meditech or for Cerner or for Allscripts, you don't have to have that certificate. Every hospital, if you do Epic, it always says under requirements, certifications. Like, you need a certification in this module. It doesn't say that for other systems.
Nice. And we just got this question right here. What is comment? That's my answer right there.
It's hard. Kinda,
I think she came in, probably came left out and came back. Like, she was describing like how hard it is. Like, even if you got your own money and you the hospital got somebody probably got like you there to sign up on a sponsorship.
Yes. So
all that, you know,
you really have to go and promote yourself. Like, you have to go to your HR and you have to tell them, you know, like, I've been working here for such and such. Like, I really want to do healthcare information technology. I want to be an analyst. I want to go to Epic and get sponsored. And that's only for Epic. If your hospital have Cerner, like, you don't have to do all that. If your hospital, but it's good to get the certifications because it teaches you how to do what you're getting ready to do, instead of getting a job and then trying to figure it out on your own, because then you get a headache every day. But you can figure it out if you're that type of person and you're motivated and you're techie and stuff like that. You can read 10,000 pages and figure out how to do anything you need to do, because you'll have the tools to do it. But for Epic, you do have to get sponsored, and you cannot build Epic without a certification. I've seen maybe 10 out of 200,000 jobs that probably said, like, you don't have to be certified. And then I'm always sketchy with that. Like, I don't know. Like, who are y'all calling me? I need to look this company up in a Better Business Bureau, because how are you saying I don't need to be certified? I think you're doing some back-end stuff.
Okay. So my next question, I thought about, I'm already on a computer. Let's make it easy. I know people like visualizations, and you made this tweet the other day. Let's see. That's not what I want to do. Let me go back to this real quick. Okay, there we go. Share the screen. There we go. Hopefully everybody can see this. Can you see it?
Yes, I can see
it. So you made this tweet the other day, and I think it got pretty popular when you said healthcare information technology is a very popular career. Starting pay is between $40 an hour through $70 an hour. Depending on what area you choose to work in, it's not easy to get into, but with the correct guidance, you can. And so my next question was pretty much going to be, what's in like average entry-level salary? And I guess you can say like what I'm not, I don't like to get into people business. Like, oh, what you
make? No, I don't care. I tell people what I make all the time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't mind. Cause I mean, normally people who start to seeing like, you know, the money chain, they don't mind sharing, but I'm just talking about like, just in general, I don't come out the gate. Oh yeah. What you make? Oh yeah. Cause you know, you meet people and they want to say, oh yeah, you got it. Big money.
Like, yeah. I hate that. I'm like, yeah, I do have it. Where yours?
It's for me.
Exactly. So when you first start off, so I'll say like, it depends on exactly where you start off. So I have like a little list of things really quick. So, with healthcare IT, I'm gonna ramble off a bunch of jobs because really I only been talking about things that I have been involved in, like the EHR training, the EHR at the elbow support, the EHR, classroom training, and the EHR analyst, because those were that was my career path. I started training, then I started doing classroom training, and now I'm an analyst. So that was my career path. But there are lots of things that you can do in healthcare IT. And then I will definitely get to the bag and what you make. So you can be an EHR trainer. You can be an analyst. You can be a cloud architect. You can be clinical documentation consultant, a network technician, IT programmer, applications analyst. You can be a medical billing specialist, someone who works on the coding for medical billing. When a doctor puts in their diagnosis, they have to use codes. Those codes have to be within the hospital system. And those codes are like codes that are across the board. So like all the hospitals have to be on the same coding system. So that's a big thing. You can be an HL7 architect. HL7 is another regulatory part of the EHR system. Let me see. Coders, billers. They even have population health analysts who basically do things with like the population of the surrounding hospital and things like that. A geospatial analyst, UI and UX designers, because like they have all these, especially now they have all these new apps for healthcare IT.
Like MyChart and stuff like that.
Yep, like MyChart, like telehealth apps, because now from COVID, they made this where you can have all these online visits and stuff like that. A software designer, even, you know what I'm saying? Like healthcare IT has so many different parts. So, but for me, when I started doing healthcare IT, I was, like I said, I was a EHR at the elbow support. And at the elbow support, you will go to the on projects. So I traveled. When you travel, you make more money. Anybody who knows, like travel nurses, you know, they always talking about they rich because travel nurses.
This is like being a consultant too, like in tech. Like if you got to go to different companies, stuff like that, like they paying you a lot of money. And
yes,
covering where you stay.
Yes, they giving you a hotel. They paying for your hotel. They paying for your rental. They're giving you daily per diems. People who don't know what per diems is, like daily food allowance. Like they don't give you $50. Yes, yes, yes. And some places even let you put your liquor on your tab. So it's not like they give you $50 and say this you spend. You should have a daily allowance to use, and then you get reimbursed on your check. So you could use whatever you want, but they're only going to give you so much.
You get points on the company card.
You get points. I have so many points for rentals. I have so many points for hotels. I have so many points for flights. I get free flights all the time because my companies were paying for me flights and I'm racking up points. I get free rental car days all the time because all these points that I've gained from going on projects and being there for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And I'm just getting points, but I'm not paying for this. Like the companies are paying for this. So you get a lot of perks when you're a consultant. And that's why I prefer to be a consultant versus being an FTE, what we call it, which is a full-time employee. But to start off to be a ATE EHR, you're going to start off at $40 an hour. with no ever have done a project before in your life. If you could get in the door and do a project, you're gonna start at 40. It used to be like you start at $50 to $60, but as things have progressed over the years, it has gotten watered down because more people are getting into it, and it's more so like these people are so pressed to get a project and get in the hospital that they like taking less money. Before, when we first started, it used to be like they'll see your contract and you'll say, $50, I'm not going for $50. So now, because we know, like, you could get way more money than that to go out of town and be gone from your family for 2 or 3 weeks. But people hear about, oh, they paying 45, they paying 50. Oh, let me get in. And they taking it like, oh, yeah, I'll go. So all these people going. So it's like it kind of watered down the the pay rate system.
Right. And let me interject real quick before you finish. That's kind of ties into what I dropped on the Patreon today about, like, and I mostly say it for us because I know mostly my people that we don't know market value and we don't tend to negotiate our salaries correctly. And what happens is that's why we get paid low. Like I would look at certain areas, like when I used to do help desk, and I think I was getting close to like 20 an hour. But I was trying to go on strike so we can get more because we're doing more work than 20 an hour. But people in my hometown of Shreveport think, you know, that's a lot of money when it ain't. So therefore, right, them companies not finna pay. They know that they getting over. Yes. But everybody else don't know what the market value is. Yes. So they making it hard on you.
Yes. And so I'm going to say something that people don't, that's not going to be popular and it's not politically correct, but I'm not really a politically correct person. I speak my mind. I always have, and I'm not going to stop because I'm on this live. So one main reason why healthcare IT EHR training has been watered down is because a lot of Africans have came over here from like Nigeria, and they are being what we call put on by their family or their friends. And they're used to being in a country where they're not making a lot of money. So they are like, I swear, I go on projects and this, sometimes it's more Africans than this anybody else. And they don't be really knowing too much of nothing. And I'm just being honest, like they just got put in some type of way through some fraudulent way. They cousin got a meeting and they accepting $30 an hour. Now it's companies out here that send contracts that say $28. And I'm like, what? And then the contract get full. And then it'd be full of Africans. And a lot of my friends, they'll call me like, yeah, I came on this project because I ain't really had nothing else to do. They wasn't paying. I'm like, yeah, they asked me. I said, no. She like, it's not nothing but Africans. And they don't even know what they're doing. And like, I love my Black people and all of that. But like, that is a big reason why, like, the healthcare IT, the section that I'm doing, EHR, is being watered down because, like, they're coming over here and they are accepting little to nothing just because they're happy to make money. Because what we're making from when I talk to them in person, when I'm on projects, they're like, this can support me and my whole family for 2 months, working this 2 weeks here. Or, you know, for 5-6 months. I know someone who used to come here and work and then go back to Nigeria and live for like 5 months off of working in here for 3 weeks and support their whole family, the extended family and all that. And I love that for people, but I feel like they are just like too excited about the money that they're getting and they're just taking anything, and like companies know and they're taking advantage of us. And most companies are white companies, and they're taking advantage of us because they know that these people are new to it. And most times, like if it's a big hospital system, they're trying to get like 1,000 people. They just getting bodies. They just like, oh, we just need bodies in there. And then when they get these bodies in there, the doctors are complaining, the nurses are complaining. I've been on projects where the news came and the staff was complaining about the support. Like, we going through this implementation and the people here, they don't even know how to help us. Like, it was a big old thing. And like, it was so embarrassing for that company. That company lost a lot of projects after that, because they were scheduled for a lot of projects. And we just started getting notices that that project canceled. And it's because people are just throwing bodies because they don't have any people to go to these projects. So they just like, oh, like people have called me, my recruiters, you know anybody? Like, they don't have to know the system, but like, have they ever, were they in medical at all? Do they know anything about the healthcare? Have they ever, are they good with computers? Do you think like maybe they could come in and read the manual and learn? So it's like, they're just throwing in bodies because they need all these people and they don't have anybody to go in and do the support.
Right. So yeah, that seems like some bigger issue, but I'll let you get back to the
Sell the bag. So $40 to start. Now, the thing is, you don't get increased with like seniority. So like, if you start out as an EHR ATE or a trainer, trainers usually come in at like 50. ATEs come in like 40. So if you're ATE for 1 year or 6 years, you're going to get the 40, just if for most companies, especially like for Epic and Cerner and stuff like that. Meditech is really good with their rate, because their projects are always really small. So they have like maybe 50 people because they're going into a smaller hospital. So they're able to give more. So most of the time, like if you're doing a Meditech project, you starting at $60. For analysts, you will start at 65 and you can go up to upwards of, I've seen about 120, especially as a consultant and as an independent contractor, because you're only coming in for like 3 months to 6 months or 6 months to a year. And so you get paid more, like 30% more. If you're a consultant, and that's why I prefer to be a consultant rather than FTE. I don't want any work, but right now everything's remote. But I used to just be like, I don't want any workplace drama. I don't want to have to go in and be like in the work community. So if I am, I like to go for a couple weeks, come back home. And that's why I did a lot of consulting. But right now we're doing remote. So I am 100% remote. Sometimes you can be hybrid remote. If anybody doesn't know what that means, that means you go into the office maybe 25, 50% of the time. And the other part, you're just remote. So like from my tweet, it's 40 to 70 starting pay. And being an analyst, though, you can get promotions and salary increases and things like that with seniority and credentialing and more accomplishments. But ATE and training and stuff like that, you really stick at the same place.
Nice, nice. Now, I hope everybody heard that. Now, you know, they're going to be beating your door down. I done put your, I done got your Instagram, and let me see if it's still there. I think I put it in the description. Yeah, your IG, then I got it in the chat. I put it in the chat. So people are probably going to be following you for sure.
Good. So I do want to say that I do have a consulting company. I started, and I'll give you like a real quick how I started. So I was on Twitter. And I have like a personal Instagram and Twitter page. So this is before I started EHR Analyst Base. So I was on Twitter and I would follow a couple tech people. And I was on Twitter and it was a Spaces at the top. And it said something about coding or no coding or something, just like some technology spaces. So I went into the space and I heard people talking. And this was like the second or third space I had went in about technology. And like, I was listening for an hour and not one person said anything about healthcare IT. So I'm like, every time I go in spaces, nobody ever mentions like healthcare IT. Everybody talks about like, this is a support community of spaces. Like, everybody's like promoting technology and wanting everybody to get in technology, but nobody ever, ever talks about healthcare IT. So I requested to speak and eventually they let me speak. And so when I decided to speak, at first I was like so ready. And then I noticed that I was getting ready to speak and it was like 600 listeners. And I'm like, wait a minute, what did I do to myself? So anyway, long story short, I spoke. And after I spoke, it was like overwhelming, the feedback that I got in my DMs, saying that they never heard about healthcare IT. They're in healthcare. They want to transition to tech. They didn't know where to go. They never heard about any of these things that I was saying and how interested they were. So I immediately started EHR Analyst Bay Twitter and Instagram because it was too overwhelming for my personal page for me to keep up with all that. And then after I spoke to so many people, they really wanted help and they were serious about it. And I felt like, hey, I've been keeping this from everybody. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to help. But at the same time, I can't help all these people like for free. So like, it's like I'm giving you the tools to obtain a real career where you're going to like in all actuality make six figures. So it's like, I don't, even if you don't take my tools and use them, at least I won't feel like I wasted my time if I'm having some sort of fee for all this. So I started H-Infotech Consulting, which I already had H-Infotech because I use that as things for my for work. But I started H-Infotech Consulting .com. It is in my bio on EHR Analyst Bay Twitter and Instagram in my link tree. So I do consultations where I can, we can have an initial talk and we can set up something where I kind of can get a feel that where of where you are right now and what you have done in technology, what you have done in healthcare, what's the best route for you. Because like I did mention all those different types of all those different types of jobs and stuff like that. But basically, I am just here. And then once I help you, it's not like every time you need me, like I want some money or something like that. No, I'm starting a community. I started a Discord, which is in my link tree. I'm trying to get that going. I just requested to have a Twitter community because they just opened that up where you can have a Twitter community. I want to be just like a person that you can come to all the time and get help. I am on my website. I'm revamping LinkedIn's. I'm doing resume building. I'm offering training manuals. I'm offering one-on-one mentorship and one-on-one interview preparations, like all that. So make sure you guys check it out if you're really interested. Like, I really want to help.
That's what's up. And I feel you on all that, man, because, you know, a lot of people always, we would run out of time. Look, if y'all on the live stream right now, if y'all want to see how I feel about some of the things I'm saying, watch my video idea of, like, you know, getting six figures with no six figure tech skills. Watch that video because, you know, you'll try to help people out by charging them a fraction. Like, I charge people a fraction of what it cost me in my education and everything else I did. Yes. And you'll have people just chirping or saying stupid stuff. And I was like, you are paying for my time and expertise.
And if you can't invest in yourself, why do I want to invest in you?
Bingo. And that's the first step. That's how I know somebody is really ready to do it, because they're going to invest in themselves.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is a fraction. And I'm not, you know, I can charge you more, because if I lay out the hours that I dedicate or the things I do to you, I mean, do for you, I get paid more than what I charge you. But yes, I'm trying to help out. Like, I'm trying to be affordable. Like, I'm actually, probably after this call, I'm going to set up so where I can get an account for my company for Afterpay and Klarna. That way, you know, y'all can put the services on Afterpay.
Yeah, no, I did. I set up Afterpay. It haven't come on there yet because you have to get approved. And I don't know what's taking so long. I'm glad you said that because I do need to look that up. But I set that up too because, like, I mean, my services aren't that expensive, but sometimes people don't want to just pay $50 even, you know what I'm saying? So if you had an option to pay $50 over four payments, then go ahead and do that. So I definitely am setting that up for everyone, so you know, like, that is going to be an option. I'm glad you said that because I am going to check on that because I'm wondering why I wasn't put on there yet. But yes, so I feel like if you can't invest in yourself, then why would I spend my time investing in you? Like, this takes time. It takes time to revamp a LinkedIn. It takes time to do a resume. And all of that.
Right. And speaking of that, hey, right now, guys, look, I don't know what you, I'm not going to say what you got. Look, if y'all need y'all healthcare stuff and all that revamp, I put a website link in the chat. I'm going to make sure I go back and put it in the description. It's in a link in her Instagram bio. Y'all know me. I've been doing, you know, resume, LinkedIn, like, reviews. I haven't been revamping them for people. I just tell them what they should do according to what they want to do. Y'all know my price is on the site. But I mean, that's that. I don't want to ramble on, especially with our guests right here.
I want to say one thing too. I feel like the number one thing for Black people to enter tech is they have a lot of self-doubt. And so I want I want us as a people to just be positive and to think positively, and thinking that their lack of experience is like the end all be all. And that's not true. I just want everyone to, if it's something that you really want to do, I feel like you can't achieve it if you really like put the effort to it every day. I'm learning something different, like at work. I'm learning how to build something else, how to maintain something else. Like, it's a continuous. On my Twitter, EHR Bay, I have a tweet pinned, and it says like, being a techie is a 24-hour love affair. Like, you literally have to do. I've been dreaming about stuff. Like when I'm trying to figure out stuff at work, I might get off work, eat whatever, go to sleep. In the middle of the night, I just wake up like, oh, if I would have did it like this, that probably would have worked. And then I wake up in the morning or I say something, hey, Siri, remind me to blah, blah, look at this way while I'm laying in the bed so I can remember. When I wake up in the morning, I get my reminder. I look like the way that I thought as I was dozing off. And then that's how I should have did it. And the day before, I probably spent 3 hours trying to figure that out.
Definitely. And one question I was probably gonna let you address. Honestly, these questions have kind of been answered already. Mm-hmm. Especially like because I remember you said a lot of people, they don't mention health information, you know, technology. And I knew about it coming out of college. Like I said, man, I told you I got the good friend of mine who's Epic. I think so. If I finished school in 2013, I think Kim might have started Epic in 2014 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that came about because her mom worked at that hospital.
Oh, okay,
her daughter. So also, if you got a good name and people respect you, then you know. But he said this right here. He said, "What's your advice for healthcare workers with no IT background in terms of pathway getting a master's degree in health informatics?"
Yeah, no, you don't need a master's degree. You don't even need a bachelor's degree, to be honest, in healthcare or anything. You just need to have like self-belief, you need to have motivation, you need some connections, you need to know, most importantly is networking and connections and figuring out what's the best path for you. If you decide like you want to do cloud cloud designer in healthcare, then yes, you would need to figure out how to do cloud, take some cloud courses, things like that. But you don't really need some of the job descriptions say things like bachelor's in healthcare information preferred, or it might say in lieu of 3 years experience, stuff like that. But I'm not going to lie. I saw I saw on your because I had looked on your YouTube a little bit, and I saw like one of the interviews when it was like faking it or whatever. But I'm just going to be here to tell y'all and take y'all better fake it till y'all make it, because that's the only way you're going to make it. Like, but at the same time, when you faking it till you make it, you need to know what you're faking. So if you're saying like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. And then when it comes time to know how to do that or talk about knowing how to do that, you need to be done researched and figured out at least how to talk the talk. So when you get in there, you can learn how to walk the walk. That's just my advice.
I don't know if it worked, though. I would say
it worked for me.
No. Well, here's the thing. It depends on the person's aptitude, but so when I look at people, and I'm going to hit this music because we're gonna get ready to close this out.
Okay.
But when I look at people and they have, like I said, word salad all on their resume, that's what gets them judged a certain way. So they might say, oh, okay, you know how to do all this in AWS. No, go set up this environment or whatever. No matter what you go look up and research like that, it's not going to help you accomplish what you need to do. However, if you've been already doing a lot of projects and home labs and you're proficient enough to at least be decent at it, that's better than you acting like you're an expert. Because you know what your level is. And if you know you got a portfolio, you just showed us all the stuff, we good with what you got to do. Mm-hmm. So I just say, if you practice, you can technically say you know it. It's not faking it. But to fake, I'll put it like this, I've said to fake it, be an expert, like architect type of level person, senior level, and you don't even have any level of experience, that's where you mess up at.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be held accountable very quickly. And they ain't got, you know, certain states, at-will states, they'll just let you go.
Yeah, most states at-will nowadays. I don't even know if they, even if they're not at-will, they letting you go quick and easily. But yeah, so everybody, it was nice talking to everybody. I enjoyed the our talk, and make sure you follow me, EHR Analyst Bay, on Instagram and Twitter, LinkedIn. My link, don't not on LinkedIn. That's on personal. I hate when people go on my LinkedIn. My link tree, my website, and everything like that. And if you have questions, I'm here.
All right, y'all already know who I am. Textual Chatter, almost on everything. Follow the Patreon, buy my ebook, sign up for a consultation. Really, you know, everything. But if y'all like these live streams, let me know. I'll be getting ready to move in a couple of months to where I'll actually be doing a little bit way more live content. Pretty sure y'all heard my little girls yelling in the background a couple of times. So all that stuff going to be sorted out. But if y'all do like the actual live format, please let me know in the comments, and I'll actually work on trying to get you guys some more live content, even though I do really enjoy my pre-recorded content as well. But as always, y'all know how I say, let's get textual.